From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Start of a new week here on the show. Man, oh man, it's championship week in the NFL. That's right, championship week, baby. The Detroit Lions, one win away from their first ever Super Bowl appearance. Oh, I love it. I love it. In fact, for what it's worth, and it really means nothing in the grand scheme of things, I did go 4-0 in my NFL straight-up picks last week. Very happy about that. Adrian, I feel like you and I were the same. Did you also go 4-0? Did you pick the same as I did?
Yes, I think the deciding one was Kansas City versus Buffalo. You and I picked Kansas City. Our other two prognosticators who made picks on this show, Lane Frank, Cade McConnell, they took Buffalo. And so I feel good. I feel like, the Chiefs got it done yesterday. The window, despite what Josh Allen is saying, that it is open. It's starting to close for the Buffalo Bills. And is this like a little, I'm sorry to bring up your New York Knicks, but is this a little MJ versus the Knicks in the 90s? Is this a little, I guess you could even say MJ versus like the Atlanta Hawks in the 90s? Is this a little bit of that right now, what we're seeing with the Chiefs and Bills?
You know what somebody else referred to it as today?
What?
Yankees Astros.
Ooh, I like it.
Because
like
the Astros have owned the Yankees the last, 6-7 years in the postseason, and it's sort of reminiscent about that too. Yeah, a lot of good comparisons.
You know, the Brady Manning comparison is still there between Mahomes and Allen. Last night, you watched Josh Allen; he's fantastic. There are going to be people who even maybe call this show and think that he's a little overrated. I think he's fantastic. I thought that he kept them in the game. He had some really nice passes. The deep shot to Stephon Diggs is one that we'll always reflect on from this game. But I just think that he's one of the best in the game. If he's not number two, he's definitely number three behind Mahomes. Mahomes and Burrow, and I love watching Mahomes and Josh Allen duke it out when Manning and Brady were duking it out way back in the mid-2000s, not way back, but in the mid-2000s. Brady got the upper hand early on, and then it took really the late 2000s, early 2010s for Manning to start winning on his end.
Couldn't agree with you more. In fact, you look at the games this week, and I thought the best chance for an upset was Green Bay beating San Francisco. But as much as I wanted Aaron Jones to get to the championship game, I couldn't do it. I had to pick San Francisco. And the truth is, Green Bay outplayed them. They should have won. There's no doubt about it. They should have left that game going to Detroit for the NFC championship. But things don't always work out the way you're supposed to. In fact, think about this. Anders Carlson misses a 41-yard field goal that would have given Green Bay a 7-point lead late in the fourth before San Francisco puts their final drive together to get the win on that touchdown. So Carlson misses, which would have at worst made it a tie game for Green Bay. And then on the flip side, in Buffalo, look what happens in that particular situation. Bills are down 3. They are driving. It looks like they are about to tie a game going down the stretch. That would have been it. And it would have been a tie score, and Green Bay or KC still would have had the ball, but that game most likely would have been headed for overtime. And what happens there? Well, again, Tyler Bass, he missed 2 field goals last week. This time he goes wide right, which, by the way, if you're old enough to remember Scott Norwood, he went wide right. Wide right, which would have beat the Giants. And instead, the Bills lose the Super Bowl that year. And wide right are the two words you never want to hear if you're a Buffalo fan. But that's what happened with Tyler Bass. That's what happened with Buffalo losing to Kansas City and Mahomes. And, it's just the way things seem to work. And, Kansas City, yeah, they have their number. But at the same time, at least in that game, Adrian, Buffalo should have been in a spot to tie that game up. But Bass hooks it, and there goes Buffalo's chances.
You know, you think at the Dallas Cowboy fans and how they just called the show all last week talking about how miserable they've been, upset with the coaching staff, upset with the ownership group, upset with Dak, whatever it might be. We love the darling Lion fans who've actually got a chance to go to Super Bowl right now. What a story this is. But is there a more miserable program? Forget just, franchise. Forget just in the NFL, but maybe across all the sports than the Buffalo Bills fans to be that close so many different times and just not get over the hump, not get the Super Bowl ring that they've wanted, you know, ever since going four straight times in the early 90s. And you just think if it's not now, then when is it ever going to be? They've got a top three quarterback in the league and they can't get it done.
Not to mention they got a couple of great receivers. I mean, you got Stephon Diggs. You've got, the tight end, Kincaid, the rookie had a very nice year. You've got weapons. You've got Cook at the running back spot. I mean, Buffalo, look, and they were hosting. They were hosting this game against KC. But you want to know something? This is what we said on the radio last week. It is so difficult to beat a team like Kansas City twice in the same season. It's really tough to do that. I mean, you might get the better of Mahomes once, but to beat him twice, even if you're hosting that divisional game, that's so much easier said than done. It really is. Like, the reason I like Kansas City so much in the playoffs, and I'm going to pick Kansas City against Baltimore, I'm going to tell you right now, despite what Baltimore did to Houston, despite how good they looked, I'm picking KC. How can you go against Mahomes when you know everything is on the line? He's money. And if he loses to Lamar Jackson next Sunday, good. I mean, that just solidifies Jackson as the best player in the league, as the MVP, and Baltimore as the best team in the AFC. But I'm not picking them. I'm picking Kansas City to win that game, Adrian.
Patrick Mahomes is only 28 years old, and I think he's at that point that Brady was in his career. It was right after the Seahawks Super Bowl, where it felt like in meaningful games, he was always in control. Patrick, I mean, we don't give him enough credit for that, because it seems like whenever he's in the game, forget the weapons he has around him. Kelce had a great game yesterday, but outside of him, you don't really look at anybody else other than Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And I just think Mahomes and what he's been able to do with this team is just an overachievement. I mean, the easy argument is that they exit the playoffs at some point and they reload over the offseason with formidable weapons around him, like good wide receivers. They rebuild the line a little bit more to just make improvements there and then continue to build on that defense, which has gotten better and better over seasons. But he's showing right now that he is overachieving as a quarterback and just proving week in, week out why he is the number one player in my eyes in football.
100%. 100%. So, again, we'll talk football with you. Miners, big win on Saturday. They, look, this team is doing exactly what we hoped they would do. They won the two big home games. They beat Middle Tennessee, who they should have beat. I mean, that's a bad basketball team. But then Western Kentucky, again, good entertaining game, high-scoring game. Miners win. We're going to give out awards today. We'll talk Miner talk. But, Adrian, my biggest takeaway from this is that in this league, meaning Conference USA, it is such a top-heavy league with home teams that nobody in this league is a good road team. Nobody. So considering the fact that this tournament is going to be in Huntsville, Alabama, it could be as wide open as it gets. So if a team like UTEP can string together a couple road wins and take care of business at home, they could find themselves easily being a top four seed going into this tournament rather than being on the bottom five.
Yeah, right now, Conference USA is in the top conference across college basketball in home win percentage at 79%. So, yeah, there's only been four home losses so far across Conference USA, which is really unheard of. You think about the parity across Conference USA.
Yep.
It's been shown year over year, but now it's really really favoring the home team. So Miners have a tough stretch this week. It's La Tech, Sam Houston. Those two teams have been winning as of late. So the Miners, like Joe Golding said to me at practice today, they can just get one of those. It's a huge accomplishment for this team. If they can get both of them, then we're really talking about a turnaround here for this team, and we're talking about them legitimately becoming a contender in Conference USA.
Could not agree with you more. So we'll talk UTEP today as well. We got a lot to cover on the show. We're only on with you for 2 hours, and then John takes over at Hudson's Grill today, 1770 Lee Trevino, getting ready for UTEP basketball with Keith Adams and Joe Golding. So that's coming up in our 6 o'clock hour today. All right, let's get it rolling. Let's jump to the phones. Two lines are open, 505-6009. That's one way to get through. You can also reach us and hit us up on social media at 600 ESPN El Paso, whether it's Twitter, whether it's X, whatever you call it, we're there. We're looking forward to hearing from you. And if you have the 600 ESPN mobile app, which you all should have, and hopefully you do, and you can listen to the show through your Bluetooth device or through your Apple CarPlay or your Google Android device, hey, all the more reason to check us out. You can chat in real time using the mobile app. So that is also important. I think it's Google Play is what I'm talking about. So that's what you have to worry about today. Let's get moving. Started off with Orly. He's first up. Orly, good to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
Well, that was a tough game on Saturday night. Let me tell you. Had everything going against them. Purdy did not look good early in the game. Didn't look good in most of the game. But when all the criticism, can he win a game? And they're behind on the last drive. He was on the dime.
He was.
On that last drive.
He was perfect. He was absolutely perfect.
And the guy that came through was Jennings. He's very seldomly used. When do you see Kittle drop an easy pass?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He was still that pass to Ayuk. On about the 40-yard line was a dime. Only one that could get it was him. It was so low. Give Purdy credit. All the criticism. It looks like he can move the team down. He had the team against Cleveland. He moved them down. The kicker blew it. And that's what concerns me as a 49er fan.
Yep.
Our kicking game.
Yeah, Jake Moody.
Moody, I don't trust him. He missed three against the Rams. Of course, it was against the Rams. They were playing their second-ring team. But against Cleveland, he had an opportunity. He missed it there. He worries me about going into this because there's going to be some close games, I'm pretty sure, the next two. I hope Samuel can play. He's about a 50-50 shot right now. They say it's not a hairline fracture. It's just a bruise.
Yeah.
And I guarantee he'll play. He's a tough, tough ball player. It was a good game, and I'm glad to see Aaron Jones had a good game. Unfortunately, like he said on the press conference afterwards, it says the 49ers have our number.
They do, although they wasted a good 56-yard run by Aaron. They really did.
Yeah,
I mean,
they did. They really did. Yeah.
He positioned them. It was a ridiculous run, and he made a cut on that run that was just sick. But I mean, they wasted that. That was three at the worst, and that would have that could have been the dagger for San Francisco had they punched it in. Instead, they get nothing, and Green and San Fran responds with a game winning drive on the following possession.
Well, you got to remember too at the beginning of the game, they have they're inside the 23 times.
Yep.
And
yep.
Settle for 2 field goals. That makes the difference in the game.
That's what I'm telling you. Green Bay, Green Bay was the better team in that game, but San Francisco
sure
got the win. So, yeah.
Sure they were, but sometimes I'd rather be lucky than good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right.
That could turn the season around for the 49ers, realizing you better show up for every game. And I think that's going to help them against Detroit. Detroit's got a good team. But I don't know. The linebackers for the 49ers are pretty stout. Greenlaw, and let me tell you, Greenlaw played a heck of a game. What a ball game. He was all over the place. It's going to be fun. As far as UTEP, I'm glad they won. Let's hope they can go on the road. They got, La Tech and Sam Houston.
That's right.
Sam Houston's got a pretty good little team. I didn't expect they're going to be that good. But you look at the situation. Remember the old days? You and I remember the old days when the teams from Utah and BYU used to hate to come to play New Mexico and Utah because that was two losses.
Yep.
It looks like it's going to be that way with New Mexico State and Utah.
I agree with you.
This way, yeah.
And they're both playing better. I mean, look at the Aggies. They're turning their season around overnight as well. So you're right. It's going to be, the next 6 weeks of this season is going to be very, very interesting, Orly. And I appreciate the call. Thanks for getting in. We'll get to Eddie on the backside of this timeout. 17 pass. Let's head over to Charlie 1 and get this traffic update. For 21 past the hour as we continue. I said earlier Google Play, but if you've got you go into the car and if you've got an Apple, if you've got really an iPhone and you have an Apple device, Apple CarPlay is great, but it's Android Auto. That is the Android version of Apple CarPlay. So it doesn't matter what, regardless of what device you have, you can hook up either to Android Auto or Apple CarPlay and listen to this show through your device and using the 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. It's amazing. It's what I do. I get in the car. First thing I do is hook up to my Apple CarPlay and listen to the radio station when I'm driving. And I'll be doing that tonight with John and UTEP basketball coming up at 6 o'clock.
I did that this weekend for all the football games that we were able to not only air through the over air traditional way of listening to radio, but also the streaming version, which I loved.
And we will be doing it when we're in Vegas at Radio Row, because that'll be how we monitor the station. So we will be listening on the mobile app when we are out there on the road in Las Vegas from Radio Row at Mandalay Bay. 2 weeks from now. Hard to believe. We'll be in Vegas 2 weeks from today.
That's right. I've already started to make the plans, Steve. I need to get the walking shoes, need to get the extra equipment, extra gear and stuff like that. Already placed some Amazon orders, so let's do it, man. It's
awesome.
A lot of fun.
Can't wait. Let's go back to the phones right now as Sports Talk continues. Eddie is with us in Fort Bliss. Eddie, what's going on?
Not much, Steve. Adrian, don't forget to stretch first, pal. We don't need you to, like, pull a hamstring or something.
Good call.
Trying to cover
like
the
it.
Radio Row.
Yeah, that's true. We will need to really work out, stretch a little bit, get our cardio in. We'll get our – trust me, we're going to get our steps because we are not staying at – we're not staying – like, we're in the middle of the strip. And Mandalay Bay is kind of off to the end by the MGM Grand. So
yeah.
we're actually going to be staying closer to Caesars. So that means for us, we're either walking, which we probably could use because we'll get some good workouts, or we'll Uber over. But yeah, that is the plan for us to make sure we'll be in plenty of great shape for this trip. That's for sure.
So Saturday, have you ever seen a crowd that's affected a game more than what the Ravens crowd affected C.J. Stroud and the Texans? I counted, what, 6 false starts penalties the whole game? I've never seen a crowd that loud.
Oh, yeah. Well, you might. Maybe you'll see it. Maybe you'll see it again coming up on Sunday when Mahomes comes to town.
And me and the buddy sitting next to me, we couldn't hear each other. And he still has season tickets. He told me that it was even louder on Saturday than it was 20 years ago.
Wow.
So that should be something to watch.
It's going to be a great game.
But when it comes to it, I can understand why you want to take Kansas City and you want to take Mahomes. One thing I would say and caution is that we're getting Andrews back. So that should be a very big plus.
It will be. Likely played well, though. Like, let's give Likely some credit. He he had a touchdown pass against Houston and played well. There's no doubt. Mark Andrews is going to be a big deal for that championship game on Sunday. But we also don't know, how healthy Mark Andrews really is. Because if he was 100%, he would have played on Saturday. And they held him out. So, they obviously don't feel he's 100% just yet. But even if you have Mark Andrews at 75% against Kansas City, that's going to be a big addition.
I 100% agree. And have you seen a defense that made people look like rookies, like they've been doing so far this year?
No.
I was asking Adrian. C.J. Stroud played in the first game. After that, he went on a great run. I mean, we were almost calling this guy the I would say the backup MVP after what he did the last couple of weeks, and including what he did to Cleveland. But the way that he looked on Saturday was unreal.
You know what's weird, though, about the Ravens this season? And this is the interesting thing. They were swept by the Steelers. They lost to the Browns. They lost to the Colts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, some of those are not good losses. And that's why, even though they have the MVP of the league and they're playing great football and they're going to be at home, I just don't have a feeling yet that I can feel good about taking Baltimore against KC.
Where I usually start to worry is if we have a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter, because with the exception of the 18th game or the 17th game against the Steelers, where we just rested everybody,
yeah,
all the other games we had a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter and blew a lead in the fourth quarter. Now, those were also back in the beginning of November was the last one. So they have matured a lot since then. And if you notice, even against Texans, they didn't take their foot off the gas at all this time. They knew, hey, we've got it. We just need to keep attacking. One thing I didn't see, even when they were in the final 2 minutes, I didn't see the prevent defense.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they stay with that, I think it's going to be a very interesting game.
And, you know, you bring up another good point. The last week of the season, they didn't play anybody. And prior to that, they had won 10 out of 11. So this was a very good team. Their only loss was against the Browns. That was it. So, you know, and they had good wins. I mean, they killed the Lions. They beat up on the 49ers. They crushed the Dolphins. They beat the Seahawks 37-3.
At that time.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's going to be something.
No, I agree. I mean, look, there's a lot of the Kansas City is going to be an underdog in this game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's no way Baltimore is going to be a home dog for the championship game. In fact, right now I'm seeing between 3 and 3.5 for the Ravens, their favorite. So, yeah, KC is clearly the underdog in this one.
Right. So I think I'm going to have to go. God, I hate this, but I'm going to have to go with the Ravens. I generally try to pick against them every week, knowing that if I give them some kind of good luck, it's going to rub off in the wrong way. But I'm going to have to go with the Ravens this week.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you should. I mean, that's just. And did you go with the Ravens this past week against Houston?
No, I didn't.
Ah.
I couldn't stand the 9.5. That was my thing.
Okay.
Straight up, I could have taken them. The 9.5, no.
All right. So you like the Ravens and the 3.5 or the 3, depending on where you go.
Because if you look at it, I mean, Vegas-wise, home field advantage gives you 3, right? So when you're calling this, really, you're calling this a pick'em.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, all right, Eddie. Good job, man. Appreciate the call. Thanks for getting in today. 29 pass as we approach the bottom of the hour here on Sports Talk. And I think a pick'em is fair with these two teams. I really do. You know, Ravens with a better regular season team, but just because of their track record and because they've been there so many times over the years, it's hard to pick against Mahomes. It really is.
Yeah, I'm going to have to run back the tape next week when I'm wrong because it's so hard to. But I guess I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to pick the Ravens. I feel good about it. So I'll give you the case. I just love how Lamar's playing right now. And it is obviously the MVP season and what he's been able. But he's a playmaker. It's like whenever they need that play, he gets it done. He has this ability where he can scramble outside the pocket and make everybody on defense look stupid. I don't remember a quarterback unlike this ever in the history of football. Maybe you can point out some of the times where Michael Vick did the same thing, but what he's able to do in the scrambling sense is pretty remarkable. And Steve, the sneaky thing that the Ravens did that Eddie didn't mention and we didn't talk about here in this segment, forget the Mark Andrews edition. How about the Dalvin Cook edition? He actually ran the ball pretty nicely in the second half and looked like he was ready to go. Like he's been waiting for this opportunity all season long. They've got a question mark right now on Gus Edwards after he went out late in the game. Maybe Dalvin Cook's the guy who steps in and is excellent in this game.
I mean, what a nice luxury, right, Jeff? Now you have the Justice Hill, Dalvin Cook 1-2 punch. If Gus can't play, that's a big deal.
Plus Lamar in that running mix, too.
He's the most dangerous on this group. Really, he is. Look, he had over 100 yards rushing and two touchdowns on the ground against Houston. That's got to be the number one focus of the Kansas City defense, is trying to figure out a way to limit Lamar Jackson on the ground. Let him, if he throws a couple touchdowns in the air, you could still overcome that. But it's the ground game that scares you so much.
Yeah, make him beat you through the air. That's mm-hmm. the game plan that you have to do. And then, look, his receivers outside of Zay Flowers, not that special. Rashad Bateman, right. Nelson Aguilar. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., for sure, he could always show up.
He had one catch against Houston. One catch.
Well, I was going to get at his buddy. He hasn't done it all season long, really.
No. It's just Zay Flowers. I mean, let's be honest. No. That's their receiving core, Zay Flowers.
Yeah, and Odell just brings you the Super Bowl prowess. He's done it before.
And Andrews will take targets away. I mean, he's your guy. He'll be your number two behind Zay. There's no doubt about it. So, all right, let's go to Adrian, SportsCenter. Then we're back with more in a moment. By the way, happy birthday, Lane Frank, celebrating number 16 today. Sweet 16 for Lane Frank as we send it back to Adrian to get this SportsCenter update. Adrian, thank you very much. 33 now past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. By the way, got a good story by Brett Bloomquist in the Times today reflecting on Nate Paas, who will be moving on from UTEP football after 27 years. In fact, I know the question is, well, what's he going to do now? I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to stop by the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Properties Schoolyard Sports Studios and reflect on those 27 years, hopefully sometime this week or next.
Man, we can get all the war stories that he's been reflective on, he's been nostalgic about, and you know, he's talked about a lot here throughout these couple weeks. So just a legend here in this city, has affected so many people's lives throughout the football program and outside of it. So it'll be great to catch up with Nate.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. So we'll reach out and look at getting that scheduled. Again, John Teicher, 90 minutes from now with UTEP basketball live at Hudson's Grill, 1770 Lee Trevino. All right. If you missed it, UTEP, big winner over the weekend. They scored 93 points on Western Kentucky. 93. The big victory, and as a result, the Miners are now 2-2 in Conference USA. All right, Miner talk I heard was it a little more lively Saturday night after the game versus Thursday?
So quick backstory was with the Oscar Adietta Agency. It was their kickoff event, 2024 Embrace the Journey. Loved the event out at Starlight Event Center. Steve, I got out of there a little late. So it was Sal Montes, Alberto Ureta taking over Miner talk, and it was a little bit more lively. However, they did tell me that because of the San Francisco Green Bay game, it was a struggle to get some calls in.
Really?
Yeah, it was winding up right around the same time. But I'll tell you this, from what I listened to on Miner Talk and what I heard, it was a more positive group about this team. And people are wondering, has this team turned the corner?
Well, that's the big question. I would like to know, what do you think? If you were there at the game on Saturday, have the Miners turned the corner? My answer is no. They have not turned the corner. Now, if they beat Louisiana Tech, or better yet, if they split this week against La Tech and Sam Houston State on the road, and they win one of those two games, I'm not going to say they've turned the corner, but I'll feel good. If they win both games on the road, then yes, I feel like they've turned the corner. But right now, you can't tell me that a team that is winless on the road has turned the corner on their season. It all depends on how they play Thursday night in Ruston, and then how they handle themselves against Sam Houston State on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, this is how I felt after the Middle Tennessee win. I felt the same way, you know, going into the Western Kentucky game. If UTEP wins, it's great. It's a good thing right there. It doesn't change my opinion overall about them until we see what they can do to try to change things on the road.
Absolutely.
That's the big part about them. I mean, they've shown it at home. They've beaten some of the best competition you can face in mid-major hoops. Remember the Wyoming game. Look back on even the game that they played in that neutral game against Cal and how they were playing early season. You could look at the Sun Bowl Invitational, whatever you might look at. Look at this past weekend. Let's see it on the road. Let's see what they can do away from the Haskins Center that's not on a neutral site in these Conference USA games. If you look at it right now, you might argue their best overall win was just over this past weekend against Western Kentucky.
Yep.
And And if you're not calling that the best win, then it's probably Cal, which was in the SoCal Challenge in late November.
All right. Awards to give out from Saturday night's game. Let's start first with our Win Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game.
This one goes to Corey Camper Jr. What a performance by him. He was kind of that bright spot of this team. When I rewatched the game, Steve, I just thought to myself, Corey Camper's shot at the top of the key right now is automatic. He's hitting it at any type of, at any rate that he wants. 19 points on 5 of 7 shooting from 2-point shots. He made a 3-pointer. He also made 6 free throws in this game, contributed with 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and only 2 fouls, 0 turnovers for Corey Camper Jr. He's the hot hand of the game.
Love that. Hey, it's still cold outside in El Paso, which means those heaters need to work. And if you need a new heater, I have an answer for you. And that is Wind Supply El Paso and their Champion Heating and Cooling distributorship. In fact, they are the official distributors of Champion Heating and Cooling here in El Paso, and they will be able to keep you warm this winter. Here's what you do. You go to the Find a Dealer tab at windsupplyelpaso.com. You go down to the Certified Champion Elite Dealers. Then you'll see the Preferred Champion Dealers. Guarantee you this, there is a Champion dealer near you. You'll have the phone number, you'll have the contact name, you'll have the email. Give them a call. Tell them you heard it on 600 ESPN El Paso, and they will get you all set and making sure that you stay warm here to begin 2024. How about our Timothy Cantrell player of the game?
This one, it was a little bit of a debate, according to Sal and Alberto, but it ended up being Tay Hardy. Before I talk about Hardy, just want to give a big shout out to Otis Frazier III, Conference USA Player of the Week. Another great performance in this one. After an 8-steal performance, which was amazing in itself against Middle Tennessee, he comes back with 4 steals against Western Kentucky. Significant play late in the game. But the player of the game had to be Tay Hardy. 27 points in the first half. He looked unstoppable. He's been playing at his best right now. 4 steals in this game to go along with it. He did have 4 turnovers, but I'm okay with it because he made 4 3-pointers and really big. He's really stepped up big for the Miners here during the stretch.
Timothy Cantrell is your trusted real estate agent with over 20 years of experience, and he's got everything, folks. Whether it's valuable resources, he's got vast knowledge, unwavering dedication. He wants to make your real estate dreams come true. Here's what you do. You can contact Timothy Cantrell today, 915-204-8441. That's 204-8441. Follow him on Instagram at Timothy Realtor for the latest listings and tips as well. Cruz, we'll get you in just a moment. 20 in front of 5, back with more. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. Continue here on Sports Talk. I want to thank Cruz for hanging through the break. Let's get him next as we wind up hour number one with more of your phone calls, 505-6009-600-ESPN El Paso. If you would like to send it to us on Twitter or X, we'd love to hear from you. And, of course, our free mobile app where you can listen to the show and communicate with us by chatting on our mobile app. Cruz, what's happening, man? How are you?
No, I'm doing okay. Thank you. But, hey, I got a couple of comments.
Sure.
One about the Cowboys, the other Green Bay. You know, Green Bay had that game even at the end. You know, Jordan Love should not have thrown that pass. I mean, he did what you're taught in junior high not to do in high school and in college. You don't throw across the field like that. You give the defenders, you give them another 1 or 2 seconds to run to the ball, and the ball was not even accurate. You know, I was really disappointed in that. But
yeah, but listen, I thought Jordan Love played pretty well. I mean, that was a bad mistake. I'm with you on that. But for the most part, I thought he did pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, he played a real good game up until then. But I also wanted to ask about the Dallas Cowboys. Has there been any kind of an explanation why the Cowboys are so flat, like when they played against Arizona, San Francisco, Buffalo, Miami, and then Green Bay? Any kind of an explanation why? It seems that, well, they're going to keep the head coach. So it seems to me that this is some kind of a problem among the players. You know, I mean, they were so flat right away. In the first series, you could tell right away in each of those games that they were not ready.
I don't know. I mean, that's obviously a coaching thing. And, you know, that's part of the issue when you have Mike McCarthy is great regular season coach. But even though he's won 1 Super Bowl title in Green Bay, he just hasn't been able to get the Cowboys over the hump. Then again, nobody's been able to get the Cowboys over the hump since Jimmy Johnson. You could make the argument that Barry Switzer had a team that a lot of us could have coached all the way through, and he won a ring. But after that, it's been a rough go.
Yeah, even Jerry Jones said that Barry Switzer, well, that was a team that Barry Switzer got, that many coaches could have coached him to a Super Bowl victory. And,
sure.
And I remember hearing that. But I'd sure like to hear some kind of explanation or something. You know, there's this dog over here. They used to call him Cowboy. They changed his name to Jones after that game, you know. And just, but it's a lot of people really took it hard, you know, how they played in the meaningful games.
Yeah, but I mean, but is it really anything new, Cruz? It's been the same thing for the last 20-plus years.
Yeah, it's true.
Appreciate the call, man. Thanks for getting in. Let's go next to George. He joins us on Sports Talk. How you doing, George?
Yeah, doing great, Adrian. I mean, Steve.
No, he's here too. No, you, listen, you if you call me Adrian, I take it as a compliment. I'm not offended. That is a good. If you're going to call me any name other than mine, I definitely accept Adrian. That's fine.
Sounds groovy. Hey, great weekend for some playoff football. There's some teams that I thought would pull out the upset, and there's some teams that just didn't come through. I was kind of disappointed seeing the score with Baltimore and Houston, but it's not a surprise. I mean, Baltimore's been dominating when they had to be. Buffalo, it was just a tough loss for Allen and his bunch. You know, that field goal, that missed field goal, and then just that interception at the end of the game to end the game. It's just they really shot themselves in the foot right there. And then Casey, and I just love the way Mahomes plays. But I don't know, Steve. I have to go against you. And I mean, the way Lamar's been playing, he's balls out, man. I think he's a man on a mission. And he's got some pretty good weapons out there. And
he does. I mean, listen, I'm not going to discount Buffalo, Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, but just remember one thing. Buffalo was playing balls out until they played Kansas City. All right? That was a team that was on fire. They put it together the last 6 weeks of the regular season. They were hot in the postseason. It looked promising. And then all of a sudden, as we've talked about, very difficult for a team to beat the same team twice when you're Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. But look, Baltimore's favored. They're supposed to win. They've got the league MVP. I'm picking Kansas City as an upset. I mean, that is not the favorite. I mean, yes, Mahomes might have the track record and Andy Reid and that whole group, but, you know, if there was ever a season where Baltimore should go to the Super Bowl, it's this year.
Right. I agree with you. The running game's been working for them. And what I saw this weekend, they just let everything hang out. I mean,
they did. But just remember one thing. The Kansas City Chiefs are not the Houston Texans.
That's true. No, yeah, you're right. You're right about that, Steve. But I mean, they're playing in a very hostile environment, and Baltimore is not going to make it easy. They're not going to make it a walk in the park.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
I think it's gonna go down to the last possession. I think that's where I'm seeing it. And yeah, you're right. I mean, you have all the right to say Mahomes, because he when the game's on the line, that's one guy that you're gonna trust is gonna lead you to a victory. So yeah, you're right in that. And on the other side, Purdy and Detroit, I don't know. I mean, that's really gonna be a hard one, because they're gonna be without Deebo Samuel. That game almost got away from them, and Aaron, I was hoping they would pull it out. That when that kicker shanked it, I was like, oh my God, no way.
Yep.
It was like, had they tied the game and it gone into overtime, I would have given it to Green Bay.
Me too. So anyway, good job. Appreciate you, George. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks for getting in as we continue. By the way, that win over Houston on Sunday, or Saturday, I should say, that was only the second win in the postseason in the career of Lamar Jackson. So hasn't played a ton of postseason games. I think that makes him now 2-4 all time in the postseason.
Yeah, and for Lamar, he's got something to prove, because
he
did it against a rookie in the Houston Texans and you were tied at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see you do it against the league's best team, or at least the best team last year in the Super Bowl champs from 2023.
Good point. Come back, final hour next. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.
The River Oaks Properties Schoolyard Sports Studio. Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Welcome back, everybody. Start of hour number two here on Sports Talk. Yes, he's Adrian Broaddus. I'm Steve Kaplow. It's great to have you back. 600 ESPN El Paso. That's our home every day for the last, 34 years. It's pretty remarkable. 915-505-6009. Get you through to the program. That is 915-505-6009. You can also connect with us at 600 ESPN El Paso. I don't know if you heard this call or not, Adrian. This one's pretty good. Here is the Korean broadcast call of the Tyler Bass miss late in the Kansas City Buffalo game.
모든 문들을 다 땄어요. 그랬기 때문에 조시 앨런 선수가 오른쪽으로 나오면서 시간을 벌어봤지만 오픈된 리시버를 찾을 수 없었습니다.
44야드 거리입니다. 타일러 베스.
오른쪽으로 벗어났어요.
That is awesome. That is how, to me, that's how we should have American sports. Let's be honest. When you shank it and you have that situation, happen to you, this is exactly what we should be listening to here for all American sports broadcasts. That is fantastic stuff.
That's really amazing. I love the enthusiasm on the miss because it is one of those pivotal moments. It changes a whole season. It ends a season for a certain team like the Buffalo Bills last night. I thought that was going in for sure. I was even, as soon as Tyler Bass got up to, kick that field goal, I got up to go get a drink thinking, oh, he's for sure going to make this. This is going to overtime. I was getting ready. I was getting prepared for some bonus football. Instead, he misses it and Kansas City wins it.
Man, oh, man. You're right. You see what Aaron Rodgers did afternoon?
No, what did he do?
He took the entire Jets offensive line to Vegas for some golf, hockey, and drinks.
What a nice guy, huh?
Yep. Apparently, he took up to the most expensive per-round golf course in America, $1,200 per player, which he covered.
Well, flex on him, Aaron Rodgers. That's honestly one of the best courses you're going to find in the world, and perfect view of the sphere. I think it's the Wyndham. Not sure exactly which one it is, but I think that's what it's called. But I know which one you're talking about. Notorious for their high green fees.
What were your thoughts on shirtless Jason Kelce at the Buffalo-Kansas City game celebrating his brother?
You know what? I was thinking, actually, from the Taylor Swift perspective, imagine her, like, this is like the point of the rom-com movie, right? Mm. Where, like, she starts getting too close to the family, and she's starting to look over, and she has a conversation with Travis afterwards saying, hey, look, your brother had like 15 beers and he was shirtless. I'm Taylor Swift, by the way. I can't be hanging around things like that. And this is the tumultuous time in the rom-com movie before Travis Kelce proposes and then they're engaged and get married.
He's like Frank the Tank.
Come on. Yeah.
It's what you want. You know, the only thing missing was he didn't go streaking down the quad in Buffalo after the game. That was it. Other than that, he was just apparently watched the entire game in the suite shirtless too. That is also something that's interesting. Believe it or not, Andy Reid was asked today about shirtless Jason Kelce, and here is the head coach of Kansas City and what he had to say.
Did you see any video of Jason Kelce in the game having his fun? Did he come see you guys? I don't know if you've seen the video. He looked like he had a good time at the game.
Yeah, my wife saw him, Todd, so she took pictures with him. I saw the pictures. So,
did he have his shirt on when she saw him?
No shirt on. No. Yeah, no. Listen, he's the best. He's a great kid. Great father. That's probably the thing I'm most proud of him for, because he's got a great wife and kids and everything. So he's done a nice job with that.
Nice job with that. And apparently he'll just take off his shirt and start screaming and yelling and going crazy for his brother.
You know, we didn't see any Trayvon Diggs doing that for Stephon Diggs in the Buffalo game. So you know what? And the brother showdown, give the edge to Jason here. I love what he's able to do. I love how he's hyping up his brothers. He gets brother of the year already here in 2024.
He does. I had this question earlier from A through Z at ZMonsters_20. How much did the cold weather affect the Texans? I still think the Texans would have lost, but I think it would have been a closer game. Either way, as a Texans fan, I'm excited for the future. Go Texans. So when the weather is a factor for the Dolphins, I feel like it could really throw them off their game. As far as Houston goes, I mean, Baltimore just has a great defense, and the crowd was into it. I'm sure the weather didn't help Houston, especially with what they're used to in their conditions at home. But, Adrian, even if that game was played in perfect weather, I don't know. Maybe it had a bit of an impact. Well, that one's tough. Miami, I always say yes. Houston, I don't know.
Right, I don't know either. I think also C.J. Stroud, if you truly believe he's up in the upper echelon of quarterbacks, he pushes past all those excuses and he just finds a way to try to win. I thought he had a similar rookie season as the likes of like Andrew Luck when he had a rookie season, really came onto the scene for the Colts. That's how I would equate it for C.J. Stroud. I would think crowd was more of a factor than weather in this situation. Crowd definitely hurt all those counts the silent counts that he was trying to get done,
yeah,
and led to all those false start penalties on Houston's side.
True enough. All right, let's go back to the phones. The sports talk continues. Here's Gator Richard beginning hour number two, 505-6009. What's up, Richard?
Happy New Year, man.
We've spoken in the last 22 days, but man, if you're celebrating again, Happy New Year. Good to hear from you.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.
Hey, NFLE at its finest. Okay, you got the what was it? Fake punt. Then you got the fumble through the end zone. Then you got the missed field goal. I mean, come on, man. I guess everybody still believes in Santa Claus too, right?
They do. And don't say anything else, or a lot of kids are going to be upset with you. So be real careful about that one. How old were your kids when you broke them the news about Santa Claus?
Oh, my kids figured it out on their own when I'm out there doing all the shopping, and then they're like, "Dad, did you buy this or did Santa Claus buy this?" It's like, yeah.
All right, that's good to hear. Way to go, Richard. What else besides the fact that NFLE, as you call it, are you happy with the teams left in championship weekend?
Nah, I just watched part of the game. I caught like the fumble through the end zone and all that. I caught that on the radio because I was driving, and I had a comment about that amateur that won the golf tournament.
Yeah, that was a big story in itself.
Dunlop.
Okay. Yep.
So the prize money went to the second place cat. Right? There's 1.5.
Yeah, right. He can't, right. The okay. Amateur, you so, can't take the prize money
can't
home.
Accept
that. That's
so
correct.
Where's the fan base of non-live people screaming that this guy should, like, maybe get a couple hundred grand, put it in an old briefcase, and hand it off to the kid's parents? You know, since he lost, technically.
Well, I got a better one for you right now. Dunlap, he's a sophomore, by the way, at the University of Alabama. And,
yeah,
and by the way, there has not been an amateur to win on the PGA Tour in over three decades. This is a rarity. So he has withdrawn from the field at this week's Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in La Jolla, and now is going back to Alabama. And he is going to decide what he wants to do. In fact, he could even potentially turn pro. So
right.
We will see about that.
Can I interject something here?
Yes.
Okay. Now, wouldn't this guy be a prime candidate for NIL? Not just like, pay the,
yeah.
You know, get
100%.
Some NIL.
No. You're right.
Pay these basketball players
yes.
So they can not hustle down the court.
Now, number one, we don't know if he's not getting NIL. For all we know, he's getting it right now anyway. No one's really discussed that. But, yes, he would be an absolute prime candidate for NIL. You're 100%.
Absolutely. You know, Nike, Rolex, all the same sponsors that Tiger
yeah.
had.
Yeah.
And make his $100,000.
If not more.
He can make that 1.5 mil back in spades.
Yep.
All right.
Appreciate it.
I got to go. I'm ordering food, man.
Yeah, where are you ordering from? What are you getting, man?
I'm at Chico's Tacos. Can I get two doubles, single?
Two doubles, a single.
Two large coats,
large
one
coat.
Small coat.
Small coat.
Make one of those
large Cokes of Sprite.
Yes.
And make that small Coke Sprite.
All right.
Don't forget the hot dog.
Where's the fries?
Oh, a fries, too. You getting a hot dog?
No hot dog.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, that was a solid order.
I know. My daughter was supposed to be taking her stupid driving test.
Yeah.
And then the impact certificate, a 2-hour video. She took it over 5 months ago, so the thing expired.
Oh my God.
Of course,
God.
When we show up today, wait in line, just for the girl to say, "Oh, this expired on the 11th.
Oh.
And I said, "Come on." And she's like, "Well, no, I can't do it." I said, "Supervisor." And then I said, "Well, who's your boss?" And I had two levels of supervisor come out, and not one of them would budge. I said, "It's not like it says 2023 on it. It's 2024, yo, you know, one of those." "No, can't do it. But we can schedule it for later this week." I said, "All right, go ahead and do that."
Oh,
you know, and now pick your battles, I guess.
And now you're at Chico's instead. All right.
Yeah, so, you know, my daughter, I had to check her out of school. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Had to check her out of school for aggravation. How about that?
That's a tough way to go. Hey, enjoy those two doubles and a single.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you. There he is. Gator Richard.
Not a bad order.
No, not bad either. That's not bad. Did you like the thank you, ma'am?
Yeah.
He's really polite. When he is ordering food at a restaurant, he's not like he is when he calls the show. He's very polite. Very polite.
Just don't catch him on the wrong afternoon at the DMV, right?
Mm, yeah. That's a rough go, man. That is a rough go. 11 days expired. Goes through two supervisors and can't make it happen.
Oh, man. I love it. And then, I would love to know if this order gets wrong at Chico's. I mean, he might raise some hell over there.
Yeah, that's true. And by the way, whenever you tell us that you have to go because you have to order to place, we want to hear the order. Like, we are not hanging up on you until we find out where you are and what the order is. That is going to become a new tradition here on Sports Talk. So if any of you call and you're going to try to get rid of us before you place your fast food order, no. Exactly the opposite. We want to hear that order, then we will hang up on you.
Yeah, you got to hang on with us. And then we'll talk more about Nick Dunlap winning as an amateur for the first time in 3 decades.
Big deal, man. Big deal.
And the NIL money, it's there for Alabama already. It's a choice between go and win a college national championship with the Tide and try to do that or become pro. I mean, hey, the fact that he won means that he's has his PGA Tour card all the way up to 2026. So some in the golf world would argue that that's good enough. Others in just the general sport world are wondering, well, why can't he cash out on these millions of dollars?
True enough. Ivan just checked in at 600 ESPN El Paso and says, a dude who goes by Gator Richard ordering Chico's tacos on live radio is the most El Paso thing ever. Hey, man. Ivan, listen, you know, we didn't know where he was. He didn't tell us. He just told us he had to go because he had to order. And then we found out where. We listened to the order. And that was solid stuff. It really was. So, a couple of doubles and a single. Look, he's all set and ready to go.
Didn't throw the extra salsa there. He knows that he likes just regular salsa, not the heavy salsa.
That's true. And by the way, if you're hungry and you're looking for a good meal tonight, Hudson's Grill is where we recommend. 1770 Lee Trevino. You can hang out with John Teicher, voice of the Miners, and enjoy UTEP basketball with Keith Adams and Joe Golding coming up here in less than an hour. 6 o'clock. We'll have it for you on 600 ESPN El Paso. Let's go back to Charlie One. We'll get a traffic update and then our final 45 minutes with you here on a Monday, 600 ESPN El Paso. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. 505-6009. That is our telephone number. 505-6009. Get you right on in and through to the program. There is a restaurant that has opened up in El Paso that has really taken this city by storm. It's called Another Broken Egg Cafe. We are talking about, if you love great food and really love whether it's chef-inspired breakfast, brunch, and lunch, plus they've got handcrafted cocktails, spiked cold brews, mimosas, a full bar, a little bit of everything. I want to try the Eggs Benedict because I love Eggs Benedict, but the omelets, the BLTs, the burgers, the salads, it's all there. You can enjoy $50 to another Broken Egg Cafe for just $25 this Friday at 10 a.m., part of our dining deals. It's so simple. Just go to 600ESPNElPaso.com, click the dining deals, and in less than 4 days, you'll have the opportunity to enjoy another Broken Egg Cafe here on the west side of town. And I'll tell you what, that is the ultimate way to try a restaurant you've never been to, or it's a great way to try one of your favorites by saving that kind of money here with 600 ESPN.
The exciting part about launching this year's dining deals across our radio stations is that we get to work with great people like Another Broken Egg Cafe. Breakfast menu. I love what they have for their early morning specials, Steve, which is really exciting. So if you stop by, just ask your server about their early morning specials. And then it's at the corner of Sunland and Mesa. So, you know, it's right around the street from here at us here at the radio station, and it's easy for us to get over there. So we're going to have to make a trip out there. Another Broken Egg Cafe. So happy that they're on board with us.
I am too. I can't wait. This Friday is going to be epic. And just happy that you're right. They are part of our dining deals back for 2024. And there are still some restaurants from last year that we have limited certificates. So when you go to the website to check out Another Broken Egg Cafe, check out everything with dining deals. Because who knows? You could stock up and take advantage of a ton of great restaurants still available now at 600ESPNElPaso.com. So that is the way to do it. 505-6009, our telephone number, 505-6009. If you're at the UTEP game this past weekend and you want to talk about it with us, we'd love to hear from you. Mike Maddox was in town. He was honored by UTEP. He played baseball in the early 80s for the minors, and it was really cool since he won a championship with the Rangers this past week that everybody here to help greet Mike Maddox back for his trip to El Paso, probably his first trip in over 40 years.
I love these, the recognition by Dr. Heather Wilson, president of UTEP, and then director of athletics, Jim Center. Voice of the Miners, John Teicher, actually spoke to him at halftime, too. So it was a great interview there. Great to see somebody like him be honored after such a historic season. Everybody who is a Rangers fan here in El Paso was so excited that the Rangers got it done in 2023, and to honor one of our own here in El Paso was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. By the way, also, we had quite the weekend. I know you did as well. You were with Oscar Arrieta on Saturday, part of his big event. We had a gathering at the house Saturday night for my wife, who will be officially hitting a milestone birthday tomorrow, but we celebrated on Saturday. And
nice.
It was very cool because as soon as the UTEP game was over, we started at 7, but as soon as the UTEP game was over, Jason Craig, the DJ who DJs for all the UTEP games, and one of our friends here at the radio station, he went and came right from UTEP to the house and was with us till about 12:30 in the morning. It was fantastic and does such a great job. In fact, I'll say this, Adrian, and I don't, you know, again, I don't know if this is something that UTEP will ever do, but I feel like Jason's DJing ability is very underutilized at UTEP games. And if you're paying him to DJ, and again, I don't want to take anything away from the UTEP Pep Band. They should be there. They're a huge part of this program for the last 1,000 years. But there's got to be a way to incorporate Jason more to make the games more fun when there's not basketball going on at UTEP. I'm sorry, but he knows how to work a crowd. He knows how to get people excited. I saw it firsthand Saturday, and I know it just from the times I've been around him when he DJs and opens up for concerts and big, big shows, not just here but around the area. The man is a talent, and when you're paying him to be there, Adrian, I almost feel right now like they're not getting their money's worth because they're not utilizing him to their full capabilities. And if they did it, and here's the deal. When you watch major college basketball games right now, I'm talking the biggest games in the country with packed crowds, they've taken the NBA model. And what they're doing is they've got a DJ like Jason keeping the crowd dancing, entertained, and very much into what's going on when the game is not happening. And they're making it like a dance party. So NBA's done that, and other big schools are doing that. And I almost feel like that's the miss right now with UTEP. Don't ignore the pep band. Let's not just say we don't need them. Yes, you do. However, that being said, they must find a way to really take full advantage of Jason, and he'll get the students back, because once the word starts to get out that they're playing good music and that people are into it and it's more lively, get the younger kids back. Get the student population back. I know the older fan base, it might not be their cup of tea, but I got to tell you something. The students are important. The atmosphere is important. And if he can bring some hip-hop and really some R&B and some rap and play some stuff that gets people going, why not? Why not take advantage of that at UTEP games?
Yeah, I'm happy that you went on this topic, because, you know, when I was going, and again, this, at least my point of view on this, has nothing to do with the band itself. It has more to do with, like, what we saw on Thursday was AI night, artificial intelligence night. So they took away from the times when Jason could be DJing to put out artificial intelligent music for UTEP that was curated for UTEP. So it's very strange, right? It's not the actual music that the DJ Jason is playing. It's music that, you know, obviously that falls in line with their promotions. There has to be a way this all works out, because you're right. Like, you watch some of the games, or I was at the Thursday night game, and it seems like at times fans are almost embarrassed to cheer or to get loud because of what people around them are going to say or what they're going to do. The fact that basketball games are now scattered, like fans are kind of scattered out there, I don't like that. I really don't. If you're trying to create a college basketball atmosphere, I understand the crowd was what it was on Saturday, but I understood that late game situation, the crowd really got into it and they affected the game. But you need people like Jason to really amp up the crowd throughout the contest and really get the fans, like the younger kids, involved.
He can do it. He can absolutely do it and get that place and turn that place alive again. So why not? Why not utilize what you have? We go to the phones. We got our pal, Eddie Morelos, calling in. As we approach the bottom of the hour here on Sports Talk. Eddie, what's going on?
Speaking of promotions, I saw a really fun promotion last week over at over here in Las Cruces with the dogs. The doggies racing, you know, that was a lot of fun. And but on the court side of things, I don't know about you guys, but I was really surprised to see the Borderland teams come up with some sweeps this last week.
Those are big.
I don't know. I mean, especially both NMSU and UTEP beating Western Kentucky.
Yeah, that's the big one. I mean, Middle Tennessee, they were expected to win, okay? But UTEP and Kentucky, that's and Western Kentucky with UTEP and New Mexico State, those were huge victories for both programs. Huge.
And Western Kentucky, man, they looked very athletic, and they looked pretty darn good at times against NMSU, but you know, both teams did what, and here's what I would say, right, to the fan, to the basketball fan who goes, you know, there's the casual fan who likes to have the fun, and then you have your legit, the ones that are really into the game. I would say this, man, just go to the game, because you don't know what you're going to get. You can get a big upset like we just saw this last week, and why not be there for that? You know what I mean? Why not be there for that?
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun to watch the basketball teams win this last week. And hopefully we get more of that from both Borderland teams. And so a lot of fun out there. I hope more people start showing up, Steve.
I've got a feeling that if they keep – now, here's the key, okay? Got to win on the road. Okay, that's the biggest thing. Because we the question was asked, has UTEP turned the corner? And my answer is no, they have not, until you start to see them win road games. They haven't won a single road game yet. But if they hit the road and they beat La Tech and Sam Houston State, and they've won four in a row heading back home for three straight, now you have reason to get excited and get fans into this building again.
That's it, man. That's really it. And hopefully they can stay on that upward trend on the road. You're right. And I heard you talk about it last week, and I was like, I don't know. They got to win here at first. But now that they've done that, now we go to the road and see what happens.
Yep.
Hey, Steve, one other thing I wanted to just really bring up is Austin No Doubt Trout is bare-knuckle fighting in less than 2 weeks on February 2nd. Check it out, man. It's pretty crazy to think about bare-knuckle boxing. But he's going to do it at 38 years old. I believe he's 38, and he's still doing it.
I can't believe he's fighting bare-knuckle rather than fighting with gloves.
Yeah, I just spoke with him, so... Wow, I'm just blown away that he's doing it at this age. But
yeah,
thanks, Steve, for the time, man. I'll be listening.
All right, Eddie, take care of yourself. Thanks for the call. Wow, that is big. We need to get Austin on and talk a little bit about that before his fight, because that's a totally different realm, man. Bare-knuckle boxing is a totally different realm.
He's 1-0 right now in the bare-knuckles fight. I guess it's the BKFC, and this is their 57th event out in Hollywood, February 2nd, versus Luis Palomino. That's right. Who he takes on.
All right. Thanks for the update. More in a moment. Let's get right back to the man, Adrian Broaddus. He's got one last SportsCenter update for us. As we continue, 35 past the hour here on Sports Talk, 505-6009, our telephone number. And Adrian, the whole idea of more music at the UTEP games, it's one of those things where They've got a lot of presentations. So during commercials, I know, or during timeouts, they do a lot of different things. But the only question is there a way to incorporate all of their game day promotions, but still, at the same time, make the game experience more lively and enjoyable?
Yeah, maybe you connect the promotions team to Jason, right? Because if they have a certain game, let him get into it with certain songs. Like, I know one of my favorite in-game promotions is the Charlie Clark Nissan dance-off with
yes.
Dancing Bobby taking on a fan. It's my favorite one. Every time it makes people laugh and stuff like that. I'm sure they coordinate those songs with Jason, right?
I would think he's the one playing them and not somebody else.
I would guess so. And if that's the case, continue at it. I mean, do more of those in-game promotions with your DJ and the promotions group.
Yeah, I agree with you. Although I just think that if there was, and again, it's the whole idea of go to a major college basketball game, see and check it out, see what they're doing, and copy them. I mean, that's all you got to do. Look, the whole NBA is the same. If you go to an NBA game these days, doesn't matter who you go to and who you see. The blueprint is the same everywhere you go.
Yeah, actually, when you go to an NBA game, it's during the actual sequence of like an actual possession. They'll play music. So it's pretty funny, especially when you talk about a missed shot, air ball or something like that. They will play music until the next possession is pretty much wrapped up.
When do you think college basketball will allow music to be piped in during game action?
I feel like we're almost there, right?
I agree with you.
Because the pandemic showed that you could pipe in crowd noise, and
yep.
So they were doing that. They were cranking it up to a whole other level. So why can't we just seamlessly transition into allowing more music being played throughout the game? Because then that solves everybody's issue, right?
It does, and when college kids are playing 2K, there's music that's being piped in during those games. They grew up playing that. They also, if you think about it, a lot of the times when you're watching, when you're watching basketball workouts before coaching starts, they've got music blasting anyway.
Yeah, you think about just like Locomotive FC games where you hear the banging of the drum constantly throughout game action. That gets fans into it, and that gets people really involved. I know if you talk about more traditional sports like football, there's a lot of stoppage time, which allows the bands to really play through those stoppage points. But in basketball, the way things are and how fast tempo it really is, or how quick of a tempo it can be and how fast the games can be, at times. Well, you have those opportunities for a DJ to play during the games. Like, think about reviews, Steve, just to get fans into the game while they might be wandering or their eyes might be wandering a little bit. During reviews, you know, take advantage of those points as well.
I know. I just feel like prohibiting music is kind of like, come on, just, you know, if you really want to turn, if you really want to try to make the college game more like the NBA game, well, then just let them play music throughout.
Yeah, restricting it is a little outdated, right?
Seems like it. It does. All right, 38 pass. When we come back, final countdown. We'll get ready for John Teicher. He'll join us live from Hudson's and get his thoughts on the divisional rounds and championship weekend in the end of NFL. And we'll talk a little bit about that with Teich next. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso.